right. I see you out there in the street with your umbrella, doing the customary jump. This is the Dirty Dozen Jazz Brass Band with I Shall Not Be Moved. It's from their 2009 album, Funeral for a Friend. The Dirty Dozen Brass Band with I Shall Not Be Moved. You should try and get that album. It's a really beautiful album. Very well done. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And you know what day it is. It is Free Your Mind Friday. This is when we dispense with our regular schedule, our regular program format, and we become an open forum where you can express your views about any topic that is especially important to you. And hopefully you have something important to say, something strong to say, because apart from everything else, we're looking for how people react to what you say. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. We have only a couple of rules. One is, don't take forever to get to your point. You'll be as concise as possible and as clear as possible. And be mindful that, you know, we keep our language clean. That's very important on this program. I've never had to say that, but it is important to say that as we open up the microphones to maybe new people coming in. All right, so let's hear what is on your mind. What would you want to free your mind of today at 888-874-4888? All righty, who's up first? Let's see. By the way, we see, because I'm waiting for people to call us, we haven't called us. Now, it's getting pretty dicey with Trump making forays into Florida, his new home state, and he's kind of roiling things up here. And it appears that he has some problems also within his own party. People are getting fed up of the chaos that he's causing, and they see ahead, if it continues, they certainly will lose the election and probably lose it very badly. But they refuse so far. They have refused to come to terms with the fact that the president is seriously ill. And they've done all kinds of things to cover it up, to avoid it, to not talk about it, and certainly not to get him the kind of treatment that he needs to have. And instead, they drew him even closer to their breasts with hoops of steel, as my father would say, with hoops of steel. So now that he's acting out even more, and he's getting more and more out of control, they're still trying to put it that he is doing politics. This is not politics. He's acting out, and he is descending into an abyss that only he knows. But it is a very sad thing to witness on one level, because you see a person falling apart. There's no question about it. And that person happens to be the leader of a country. And how does the country decide to lead itself? I mean, that's what's going to happen, because there's so much damage done and continuing to be done. And nobody seems to be able to rein him in. Okay, so I have to ask, what's going on with our phones? No callers yet, they said to me. And that is extremely unusual. So I'm wondering whether something is up with our phones at 888-874-4888. We normally have a traffic jam, but we've been having the phones are working, they say. Okay, fine. So what's shaping up is, and I hope we are paying attention, we are, as a nation, going to be facing the direct result of inaction by the people who are supposed to run interference. It's not supposed to reach to this point where a president is left alone to do whatever the heck he wants to do, how he wants to do it, and given wide berth to do whatever it is he thinks he ought to do. And he thinks it's his personal country. He thinks he's best suited to lead it, make decisions for all of us. And apart from that, he has other emotional and psychological problems that he has not yet dealt with effectively. So how do we deal with this as a nation? We're about to find out. Gabby from Chicago, you're on the air and welcome. Hello, Gabby, you're on the air.
Into the United States Post Office, and you interviewed an author who wrote a book on it. And I was just wondering if you were going to be doing any more of that kind of stuff, like having people come on and interview them and things like that, because a lot of the shows lately have just been, just you and your audience and things like that.
Okay, yes. In fact, I have quite a few lined up, but what took precedence or what has taken precedence is just reacting to what we're going through as a nation. And in the order of importance, it felt like it was more important to have the people speak about what they feel is important to them than for me to do interviews with authors. I have several authors, and in fact, I just fired off a note to one of them to hang in there. We're going to get to the book. It's important. That too is important, but we had a choice to make, and that was, are we going to pay attention to what the people are feeling viscerally? That was the case, and we could always get to the book a little bit later. It's not going to harm the books that we have been looking at.
Okay. I mean, I just like the kind of investigative style of what was happening. And I guess the post office, again, is kind of in the limelight, so to speak.
Well, I
And
did
then
a
I think you
major
had on Charles
piece with the
Ortel, who's
post
sort of
office
an
some years
investigative.
ago. It was really, and I'm not boasting about it, it was a very excellent piece on the
Yes, oh,
post
I agree.
office and how it emerged as such a central agency in our lives and the far-reaching impact it has had as an institution. But it's time to revisit it, I think. Because, of course, we know that Trump is aiming to just dismantle the post office.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Sonia from the Bronx, you're on the air.
Hi, you two. Happy Friday. Along with Martin,
Thank you.
along with the lines of the caller just now, maybe we can have somebody talk about H.R. 666, which is supposed to be incorporate the contact tracing provisions throughout the country. There's $1 billion proposed to fund, I believe it's Homeland Security, to implement, among other things, contact tracing. And that's something that we all should learn more about, that bill, H.R. 666. And also this issue about masks. It's so ludicrous that we are asked to wear masks when in reality only the highest level masks, such as the N95 and higher, can block the virus, because the virus particles are so minuscule that they can pass through anything. So people are being asked to wear masks and not being told which masks to wear, not being provided specific masks to protect against the virus. So it's ludicrous that we're told that that is our number one, you know, precaution against the coronavirus, and people need to address that because we should be given the appropriate protection to stop this spread of this virus, and we are not. We're just being given executive orders, meaningless executive orders, and I really don't get that.
See, this is a problem I'm having. Today, something is said, and it is presented as this is a new rule. For example, that we should wear masks even at home. That was a rule developed yesterday. How it came about, and it what it is that we ought to do now. Is there to be a different mask at home or a different mask out in the street? I don't understand what's going on. And I hate the idea of functioning in a haze. So we haven't gotten definitive information. And that, again, is because the White House is in a state of utter and complete chaos. Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and other people who are, or at least they started out being the experts on these things, were prohibited from having any public say. They're prohibited from engaging with the media and saying what is going on. And there are 50 different people talking about this. Bill Gates is now being positioned as an authority on it. I don't understand what's going on. And who exactly do we take the directions from? I don't understand what's going on at all. So I am confused.
Well, but everyone knows pretty much the N95s are the ones that most protect against the virus. Bandanas and these paper masks do not protect against the virus. So why are we being told we must wear masks? I think this is really, the goal is conditioning us to accept whatever they say so that we're just left helpless. We're left without being able to analyze what they're telling us and whether or not it makes sense, whether or not it's even legal, constitutionally.
Well, the problem is that we have all these various points of view. On the one hand, we have no information or confusing information. On the other hand, we are not hearing from the people that we, to use the word, trust. We do not have trusted voices actually directing us or telling us what they think is happening and how we are to position ourselves in this whole mess. We have no way of exercising very confidently our own judgment. We're not able to do that yet. So it is a total state of chaos. And, you know, it's up to everybody so far to figure out what they want to do or what they think is right, which is another contributing factor to the disaster, because people are left to their own devices.
That's true. But when you're doling out billions of tax dollars, and not giving the taxpayers who generated those dollars any tools or resources to protect ourselves, that's what we should be protesting against. This is our money. And it's not being given to us for our protection and for our benefit and for our well-being. We are just being told, do this, do that, and we're taking your money so that we can do whatever we feel is necessary, whatever we feel. It's a total mess, and we have to question this. We have to question why are masks needed, what kind of masks, who's going to provide those masks, why isn't the money being allocated to provide those masks and other resources. We have to be questioning this every single day.
Yeah, but you know what you're saying. And I agree. I should say, you know what you're not saying.
What?
And what you're not saying is that a critical piece of this puzzle here is that Trump has to be removed from decision making with regard to the coronavirus. He should not have anything to do with it in terms of advising what
but Trump
we
isn't
have
telling
to do.
Trump isn't telling Cuomo or Murphy what to do. They're just coming up with this stuff on their own. So yes, you're right.
Well, they're following the leader. The leader has set a very bad example.
Shame on them. Shame on them, because this is our money and this is our health and our lives.
That's
so shame
right.
on them.
And we should, having suffered this kind of damage before, we lead the world practically in diagnosed cases. Certainly the numbers of deaths should shake everybody up. Whether it was necessary to reach this point, but they still continue and they still leave Trump in charge. Trump is driving this whole thing. Everybody who really should be a critical element in forming, and that's what we need a whole group of people who have considerable expertise and are not looking to control anything. They're looking simply to understand the disease and to prepare the people for how to deal with it. But Trump has usurped authority over everything and making a mess of it just the same. And then the governors at that level, they're doing the same thing. They feel that there's no leadership. And in the absence of leadership, they have to step in and do something. But what person A thinks is right and what person B thinks is right are two different things. We are really screwed here because nobody's in charge and everybody's in charge at the same time.
It doesn't take a genius to understand that these viruses are so small that they pass through almost anything. It doesn't take a genius to understand it. It doesn't take a president or a congressperson. It's common sense. They know this. So why aren't they, why isn't Cuomo and Murphy and de Blasio, why aren't they talking about issuing us masks? De Blasio was going to hire, 400 police officers to patrol the subways? To keep the homeless out? Well, why isn't that money being used to provide adequate masks for everyone if we are required to wear masks? If they are requiring us to wear masks,
this is what is going on. And you multiply what we are experiencing, you multiply it globally, and you see how incredibly confusing it is, the way that the so-called authorities are responding and making a mess of communicating what needs to be known by the people. They're looking for information and they're looking for direction, but all we get is confusion. One group is saying one thing, another is saying another thing. The governor says this, but the president says that, and then the Congress says another thing. It's ridiculous. It really is.
It is ridiculous.
And in fact, is a direct threat. It is a threat to not just our health, but to our lives. And they still can't seem to get it together. Thank you, Sonia, for calling in.
Thank you.
Lincoln
you
from
treat.
The Bronx. Thank you. Lincoln from the Bronx, you're on the air. Oh, no, sorry, Mount Vernon.
Hey, how are you, Eutrice?
Okay, how are you doing today?
I am persevering as usual. Taking a break today from persevering as usual.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I want to make a couple of statements. As this lady mentioned, H.R. 666, it just triggered me to add this to some of the things I'd wanted to say. Unless you've read Revelations and understood Revelations, you don't really understand what's going on politically. And everything that is happening right now, I am forced to say it proves the veracity of the Bible. Everything that is going on right now.
Lincoln.
Yes?
Don't take us there. You could recommend that people read
the
passages, but we're not about to discuss revelations.
No, I'm not going to discuss revelations. I was just saying that before I go on, just because that lady referred to H.R. 666, and because of that 666 in Revelations, etc. I was just touching on that briefly. What I really wanted to say is this, the chaos. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
The chaos that you're talking about was not Trump engineered. And I think for some reason, because of the dislike, the tremendous dislike for Trump, we're ignoring the truth. I watched a conference with Bill Benny yesterday, 11 in the morning, it was for several hours. And he proved that Roger Stone and Flynn were set up. It was completely false. He also proved that the Russiagate pointed back to the CIA.
So what are you talking about today? I'm going to get very, very strict about staying on point. You started out talking one thing, and now we're up to Roger Stone, and we talk about Revelations and 666. Make a statement, a conclusive statement, that summarizes where you're going, and then go there. But let's not have a scenic tour.
My statement is, this chaos you're talking about is not Trump created. And it is,
I never said that it was created by Trump. I simply said that there's chaos. Trump is used to chaos.
I didn't say you three said that. I said this chaos is not Trump engineered. I didn't say you said that. I said this chaos is not Trump engineered. I didn't say you say that. It is so.
Yeah, but
I was just trying to make that clear.
It falls to reason. Why do we quarrel every time we talk?
I'm not quarreling. No, because I am one who.
you force me into quarreling because statements and then you come back and then we get entangled in stuff that has absolutely no relevance to what we should be talking about. So let's start from the beginning. Make a definitive or declarative statement, please, on what it is you wish to speak about today, specifically.
Okay, one of the reasons why we cannot have Fauci at the helm is because we have to look at Fauci all the way back from HIV with him and Gallo and Ebola. And presently, everything about this disease indicates that it is engineered. It's not a natural disease. And I think we are ignoring that. And for us to see that it's Fauci back in 2017 was after I saw a speech where he said, in this administration, there shall be a surprise epidemic. How come we are ignoring that? He literally said that in 2017. He said, in this administration, there will be a surprise epidemic. Why is it we're ignoring something like that? We see Bill Gates in interviews saying that he wants it mandatory that the 7-point-something billion people in the world be vaccinated. Why aren't we paying attention to that? Who gives Bill Gates that right? You know, the same man who is involved with sterilization, vaccination in Kenya, sterilizing little black Kenyan girls. So I'm saying to you that all what is going on, we're being very simplistic about it. Is some of this is planned confusion, and we're ignoring the part where there has been a coup, and the coup has never ended. The CIA, the FBI is completely politicized and everything is being weaponized. And the people, the people who, the Democrats, so-called Democrats who hate Trump, they are so sick to the point. point that they would rather see a war between Russia and America than deal with the truth. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm not a Trump supporter. I am an objective thinker. But I see this descending.
Wait, nobody's questioning. Nobody is accusing you of being a Trump supporter. I'm just trying to get some clarity. I like clarity. And within the time frame that we have available for you to make a point, it seems to me that it would be quite a challenge to cover all the ground you just delineated. We can't cover all that ground. So you will have to try your best to take a chunk at a time that you could handle from A to Z, and that we could follow you and your reasoning. But when you come at us with a torrent of different issues that we ought to be considering, we will pay attention to none of them because we are overwhelmed by what it is you're presenting. And you don't seem to appreciate the fact that we are merely human. We cannot absorb all of this that you're presenting at the same time. So you have some homework to do. Simplify your presentation and get in the habit, if you can, to take one chunk at a time that you can authoritatively deal with. Otherwise, you know what? You sound like a guy just spitting in the wind. You're talking everything and nothing at the same time. Because listening, we can't follow you. We can't make sense of how your brain is working. And we can't manage all the information you're throwing at us that comes from all over the place and not streamlined to help us understand what your point is in any given presentation. You're all over the place. So you think you might want to take on that assignment of simplifying and streamlining what it is you have to say so that we can more fully appreciate each presentation as a self-contained entity, if you will, and we can follow what you're saying. But when you're all over and everything is equally important and everything is equally dangerous, we cannot keep pace with what you say, let alone understand it. Does that make sense to you?
I hear you.
It's not about if you hear me. It's about whether you're willing to amend your presentation in a way that helps us keep pace with you. Because you outpace us all the time.
I will amend my presentation for your sake, but I will end on this note. No, I'll end on this note. What I was trying to say to you when I presented all those things is to say that we are oversimplifying things and not connecting the dots, because it's a lot of dots to be connected.
You proceed to define all the dots, and then we're overwhelmed. So you have to pay attention to this, because you have important things to say. I don't dispute that. You have important things to say, but we are overrun by your technique in presentation, and we are overwhelmed. So simplify, work on simplifying your presentation so that we could understand all of what we need to understand under one subject, and then you move on to another one.
Okay.
I don't mean to beat you up. I hope you don't feel like that.
Oh, no, No, really, I'm a warrior.
I'm saying
you can't.
I'm saying it in the spirit, Lincoln.
I'm ready for the fight. I am not.
You're ready for the fight. Well, that's a good attitude.
I am. I am like a lion. I walk alone sometimes, you know, in my points of view, etc. And I'm not afraid to stand up for my beliefs.
I clearly understand that. I'm saying that I recognize that you have something, many things that are very important to be heard. And I am afraid that just in the manner of presentation, you might be working against your intention by overwhelming us with information. So select something that you can reasonably go from A to Z on. You will complete the thought process involved in your presentation, and we will follow along. Because, you know, this program, and this is one of the things I value you for, it's about educating ourselves. We can do that ourselves. We can share what we know, and we can be a vital force in educating each other. But we don't want to risk losing what you have to offer simply because of technique or simply because of approach. These are correctable things.
Okay, I accept your advice. I accept your advice.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel good, and it will make me feel good for at least another 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I still love you. Okay.
I love you too, Lincoln, and I thank you so much, really, for receiving it in that spirit. I thank you very much for that.
You're welcome. Have a beautiful rest of
your day. You're welcome. Okay. All right, we go next to Henry from Chicago. Hey, Henry.
Hey, you, Trees, how's it going?
All right. I should ask you, how you like life in Chicago these days?
Oh, it has its ups and downs, but you know, so far we're still surviving here in Chicago.
That's good.
Yeah, just briefly, Mayor Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, recently had to redefine, or maybe, I don't know, but I know she's been contacting people over in Washington, D.C. in regards to this, you know, thing that Trump is going to send troops and such. But apparently what she did say, and she made a declaration that she is willing to accept federal agencies from the FBI, DEA, and whatever, but she made it clear that federal troops or National Guards will not be occupying Chicago streets. And she did say that, you know, if there's any type of constitutional mismanagement of any type, that, you know, she's going to be looking close to it, you know, looking closely at it. And I was like, okay, all righty. So that is what she had declared in regards to that statement this week. But I wanted to touch on what you were mentioning the other day on your show in regards to Trump taking advantage of systematic neglect of some of the Democratic cities, including Chicago, in regards to what has been going on over the past decades, in regards to, you know, crime, in regards to gentrification, in regards to a lot of things that has been going on in a lot of these cities. And you happen to mention even Harold Washington, who was once the mayor of Chicago, not being able to solve a lot of the issues that has, you know, plagued Chicago for decades. But, you know, the one thing that I do want to say in regards to that is Harold Washington only served one term, and then he suddenly died early in his second term. And you started to see that he was actually starting to make systematic changes, because what ended up happening was the first term of Harold Washington's term, he had to fight the city council because of the fact that, you know, here we term it the city council wars, because in Chicago, you know, you have 50 aldermen and only 21 of them was on Harold Washington's side. So he basically couldn't get past, he couldn't pass anything. So what he had to do, and this is why Harold Washington is probably one of the greatest political minds coming out of Chicago, was he made it where redistricting, because in the middle of his term, in the midterm elections, he had Chicago redistricted, redistrict politically. And at the end of, towards the end of his term, the tables were turned where now he had 26 of the aldermen in his favor and 24 was against him. So basically, he went from the council wars, which we call them, 21 versus 29. And then at the end of his first term, it was 26 versus 24 in his favor. And then he died. So, you know, but then there's this conspiracy that he was killed, but we're not going to get into that. But unfortunately, you know, because of the fact that, you know, his plan for Chicago was to get the aldermen and get the city council on his side, he wasn't able to fulfill that. And I believed that he would have made a huge difference because of the fact that as the mayor of Chicago, he wasn't going to be able to do it alone. And he was able to basically garner the support of the council and also make a black and brown coalition. I know a lot of people, and especially a lot of black people, don't believe in, you know, this black and brown coalition because it has deteriorated here in the last couple of years. But Harold Washington was able to do that in regards to getting this black and brown coalition together. And then, you know, when he died, it seems like a lot of the black and brown coalition and a lot of the black politicians kind of splintered, you know, its way across the city. And then you had the 21-year run of Richard Daley Jr., and many of the issues that has plagued Chicago can be blamed on him, and then his successor in, you know, Rahm Emanuel, which, you know, even worsened the city's grip on, you know, especially black Chicago. So, you know, if there is blame to what has been going on in the city, and especially as far as leadership, we can blame Richard Daley and his cronies that still plague the city council, and then also his successor, Rahm Emanuel. But other than that, we're still trying to fight. You know, we're still trying to get as many people on board as we can to fight the machine. And, you know, we're still kind of wondering where, you know, Ms. Lightfoot is at in all this. She's been mayor for a year, and it still seems like, you know, there's still some systematic changes that need to be made. But other than that, we're not relying on her that much to, you know, to save us or to be like Harold Washington. But, you know, we're just going to have to, you know, keep trekking along and keep fighting, you know, and hopefully some members of, you know, of the political machine can at least give us or garner us some help, and then the people just do, you know, do the rest of the work.
Do you think Trump would have taken the position he has taken publicly had Richard Daley or anybody else who was white in mayor of the city?
Oh, absolutely not. Because, you know, like I think I mentioned this before, and, you know, Trump was actually screaming about sending troops to Chicago when he first got elected. And when he first got elected, Rahm Emanuel was the mayor of Chicago. So, you know, he never fulfilled that, you know, promise in regards to that. Now, what was so interesting, and I mentioned this before, I think it was last year, there were ICE troops that got sent here to Chicago, and this was in Lori Lightfoot's first term as mayor, you know, is this first year, her first year as mayor. So obviously, you know, as proof, you know, he never sent like federal troops or even agents to Chicago up until Lori Lightfoot took office.
Mm-hmm. Is that supposed to be significant, you think?
Oh, it is huge. I mean, you look at, you know, you see you're looking at across the landscape, you're seeing a lot of Black women who are ascending to these positions of mayor. There are a lot of district attorneys, a lot of state's attorneys who are Black women, and you are seeing a backlash of that as well. And I think Trump is a part of that backlash in regards to, you know, these Black women, ascending into high positions. And it's basically a sense of, you know, well, you know, while you're still, you know, while you're the mayor of this great city, you know, you still got to report to me. I'm the president, and, you know, I'm the biggest white man in the country. So, you know, so that's
the biggest white man in the country.
Yes.
Well, guess what you did in that presentation is that you busted a lot of myths wide open and gave us a different slant on what is being presented in the media, because they have made, they've flattened it as, well, this is essentially Trump taking charge of an out-of-control city. But, of course, you coursed us through a lot of the racial ramifications underneath, including, and I was so glad you raised it, about where Chicago began to go under Harold Washington. And he was fearless. Harold Washington decided, if I'm going to be mayor of the city, I'm going to be mayor of the city, and we are going to work at making things better for everybody. It was a new tone. It was a new vision that he presented, and it gave Chicago, the city of Chicago, a great deal of hope, and he clearly endeared himself to the people as opposed to previous and even subsequent mayors who alienated Chicagoans, one from the other, and from the government to the people. Two different things. I'm glad that you raised that and gave us some insight there. Thank you so much for calling.
All right, thank you.
Duke from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrice.
Hello.
You can hear me okay?
Yes.
I love it when Henry calls in because he gives, I feel almost like I've been transported to Chicago a little bit, and I don't know much about Chicago. And he just gives a very clear, down-to-earth kind of detail of what's happening there. You should, yeah, I like it when he calls in. I'm going to go quickly because I know time is running out. Common sense, people, common sense. A lady called in, I think it was right before Lincoln called, talking about the mask. And I just want to say this about the mask, Utrice. I don't know what you think about it, but if someone spat in your face, wouldn't you feel better if you had a mask on your face? Now, and even if you had the mask on, some of that spit may get around the mask and get into your on your skin or on your lips or something. But it's not going to be as impactful as if the whole glob of spit just went in your lips.
Oh, my God. You're turning
to put it
my
that way.
Stomach. How am I going to have lunch?
But it's just common sense.
I'm recalling this conversation.
I'm sorry, but it's just common sense.
The spit chronicles.
the mask helps a little bit. I haven't heard any medical doctor say that the mask is the solution to all this coronavirus. But common sense will tell you that if you cover your face a little bit, you may get less at the end.
Don't
of the program.
Say it. Spit. That's what
I'm
you're
sorry.
Going to say?
I know it sounds disgusting, but I wanted her to get the picture. Yesterday, a guy ended the program talking about this conspiracy notion about Trump having arranged the whole George Floyd killing and all. People.
Lord.
I don't know. I mean, people, come on. Well, what are you thinking about? My mom used to always tell me, Utrice, common sense. Always start with your common sense. I would say, well, Mom, but my teacher said she would pat me on the back of the head. Use your common sense first. I mean, that was just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And how could he even? Okay. And then my last point. And I want everybody to think about this. We do not want to wake up on November the 3rd and have this man.
Well, actually, November the 4th. The election is on the 3rd.
November the 4th. We do not want to wake up on that day and Donald Trump is still the biggest white man in America. We have to do everything we can, and there's not much time left. And I just want to point to that girl who called in the beginning of the week. I think her name was Jerry. Jerry represents the type of person.
Why would you call her a girl?
I'm sorry, the young lady.
All right.
I speak Ebonics, Utrice, so sometimes I'm not.
You noticed that you at least picked up that she was a full-grown woman.
Yes, I'm sorry, the young lady I meant.
All right. Okay.
I'm quite sure Jerry voted for Barack Obama. There's a lot of people out there like Jerry.
How do you know this? I don't know this. What?
I have to go with my instincts. I have to go with what my instincts. I grew up on the streets.
It could be very, very wrong. You know that.
I'm sorry?
Going on your instinct does not smooth the fact that you could be very, very wrong.
I could be very, very wrong, but
so,
this is
no,
how
no,
I
no,
go.
No, 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 but you can't leave it out and say, well, I know for sure she voted for Barack Obama. You don't know these things, so
okay,
don't say
that. Let me correct that.
Because
then.
You put yourself in a hole.
Okay, let me correct that then. You're absolutely correct. I suspect that Jerry represents her voice. Represents a lot of those people, a lot of those white people, I should say, who voted for Barack Obama when he first came on the scene. And now those people are being scared out of their wits by the right. And that's going to, they have nowhere else to go but to Trump.
I think you have an incorrect reading of that whole thing, and you base your presumptions and suppositions on inaccurate premises. So
okay,
you would.
Well, can you correct me because I don't know how else to see it.
Well, you're conjecturing. When you are about to state something, make a statement of fact, but it's based on fiction, because you have nothing to support the premise on which you are arguing.
I have her actual statements to support what I'm saying. I'm going by what I heard the young lady say.
It's not enough. It's not enough. When you say you feel very strongly this is what it is, that she actually voted for Barack Obama, but now they're scared and whatever else is coming after that. But you got to get out of that habit, because you're creating fiction, and you can't prove anything you said that formed the premise for your conclusion. You can't do it.
But you treat common
sense. No, but.
Okay.
That's the fact. That's an incontrovertible fact. If you start off with
one positive
or
note,
correct premise, any conclusion drawn from that fact or your premise will be flawed.
Okay. I was recently searching on YouTube, and I came across a video of Hugh Hamilton interviewing Chris Hedges. And I just put that out there because I know I had asked you about him not long ago, and so I just threw that out there. But okay, I'll reanalyze my position. And
thank you. I have not lost touch with Hugh. We just haven't talked in a while, but I still feel very warmly toward Hugh and his entire family.
Thank you
for calling in. Let's see, Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Eucrise. I know we don't have too much time. I would just
like to
say that I agree with your last caller in regards to some of these individuals in this country who will vote again for Donald Trump. The only solace is that if he does get another 4 years, it won't be as bad as people presume it to be. Maybe in that 4 years, it'll give people the opportunity to come together and work to create a better candidate than Joe Biden, who could maybe do something to then change the country in 4 years after the type of damage that Donald Trump will probably do. I'm more concerned with getting rid of Mitch McConnell than I ever will be with Donald Trump, because Mitch McConnell is the most evilest man in America in regards to politics. So that's what we really should be focusing on and worrying about, because there's certain checks and balances and control that we have over Donald Trump that we don't have over Mitch McConnell. And if you look at what's going on in this country, Mitch McConnell is doing more harm than Donald Trump is. But unfortunately, most of the American people don't understand politics nor civics and how the government runs and how it works. So that's who we should really be collectively focusing on to get rid of that evil person. And Donald Trump will just play itself out. Now, the bottom line is, we at some point in time have to come to reckon with what is the purpose of people who we politicized to office. Case in point, like I spoke earlier in regards to John Lewis. When it's all said and done and it dies down with the passing of John Lewis, we really need to take a look at his history and what he did for his community, just like Cummings and the other black politicians, aka in my community, Charlie Ringo. And if the truth be told, they haven't done nothing. That's why we don't have black communities. That's why we don't have ourselves.
Wait a minute, I have to stop you there. You can't say they haven't done a thing, because they've done quite a bit, as a matter of fact.
Nothing.
You probably don't know the entire history of what they have done. You probably know the history of what they have not done. But it is not accurate to say they haven't done anything.
Can I just leave you with this? Can I leave you with this? The last bill that John Lewis passed, that when he was in office, was allowing for gay white men to adopt black children. You know what that's going to lead to, or you should assume what it's going to lead to. These are the type of things that I'm talking about.
Wait a minute. What is it going to lead to?
It'll lead to pedophilia, molestation,
Lord, I thought you were a progressive voice, but you just went back at least a couple of centuries there.
I'll give you a perfect example.
That you're not saying, because this is another topic, how is it that you're not saying that the fact that black men have left these black children, abandoned them, refused to take care of them, left them desolate, and still assumed no responsibility for them. How come you're not critical of that?
No. Let's be clear on the history. History pertains to all matters.
No. Don't tell me about history. This is a specific subject you raised, and you raise it in the context of condemning Lewis for supposedly engineering a law or engineering the means whereby white gay men could adopt black children, presumably black boys. And now you took another leap into this is how homosexuals have been given license to abuse black children. Careful. You're way out of line on that one. But we should pick that discussion up a little bit later because we're out of time today. It's a very important discussion to have because there's so many things wrong with the perception there that needs to be corrected. And we've come to the end of our program today. I thank you so much for contributing, for listening, and hopefully you will have a decent weekend. Try to have a little happiness with those you love over the weekend, and let's see each other again on Monday. Bye-bye.